What are the pros and cons of Alexa or Siri? These labour-saving personal assistants are a godsend for many, but how do they work? With Amazon launching a smart microwave, is this another step forward in the smart tech revolution? Henry Tai spoke to Dr. David Glantz with the University of Western Australia's Centre for Software Practice about the rise of these smart devices.
The technology that we have at the moment with Alexa, Google Assistant and Siri and all those ones, what exactly is it doing? Is it purely artificial intelligence? Is it just voice recognition?
So it's using a number of different aspects of artificial intelligence and something that's called machine learning. So it initially has to capture your voice and interpret that into text. And then from that, it actually has to be able to understand what the meaning of the words were. So that's a little bit more complicated, but still artificial intelligence. So once it's done that, it can then turn that into an actual command and respond to whatever it is that you've said.
And for the average person, how difficult or easy is it for someone to perhaps get a grasp of this type of technology?
So for the actual basics of it in terms of turning your voice into text, that's not particularly complicated. So the underlying technology in terms of the algorithms, the formulas that it uses to then turn that text into something it understands is more complicated. But once it has, it just breaks that information down into a grammatical sentence. Remember that the scope of these commands is actually very limited.
It's recording all this information. There's a lot of data about you that's sitting on that database. What are the real impacts or what are the real purposes behind these technologies?
So all of the devices tend to operate on trigger words so that they don't, although they're all listening all the time, they shouldn't actually be collecting and transmitting any data until you say those trigger words. The problem is that sometimes you can find yourself having triggered the device without knowing it. So there is a real danger in terms of privacy. We don't really know what actually is being recorded and how this information could potentially be used, because there are a lot of things that people don't consider. You can imagine scenarios where information about your daily habits are collected and then passed on to insurance companies or employers. So if you're claiming because have suffered from chronic disease, for example, and have diabetes, and then Alexa knows that you've been ordering and eating pizza and drinking beer, then potentially that information could go act against you.
These devices and these technologies, of course, have a lot of benefit, but is there any way to get that benefit from perhaps an alternative source without selling ourselves out, so to speak?
Well, I think, yes, certainly if the device is definitely under your control, so a smartphone, for example, where you have to actually initiate an action. If you want to talk to Siri, you have to have the phones switched on. But if you are concerned about it, then having devices where you don't have the convenience necessarily of issuing a command at random, but basically tap on something to actually initiate a conversation with a personal assistant is a much safer way of doing it.
With these conveniences, is that going to make us a much lazier society?
Well, it's still questionable as to whether these devices are going to really catch on in the end. They are getting better, but they still fail. If you've ever tried to ask Siri to play Wagner, it's almost comical. So they're not 100% reliable. And people get frustrated with them because they're not able to actually always execute a command in the way that you think they are.
Dr. David Glantz, Director of the UWA Centre for Software Practice, talking there with Henry Tai.